Well, before we jump in, I actually want to remind you of something and update you on something really cool. In December of 2024, we stepped into the largest thing we've ever done as a church. It's a season that we've called Unfinished. And if you're new, Unfinished is a two-year generosity initiative to help carry on to completion God's unfinished transforming work in you, in Relevant, and through Relevant. And one of the primary reasons we're doing Unfinished is because of a huge cast-the-net vision that God put on our hearts at the beginning of 2020. The vision that by 2030, all aspects and phases of the Relevant Center are complete and we're debt-free. Now, that's a God-sized vision and a vitally important vision to achieve our unfinished mission of helping transform people into everything God's created them to be, because the Relevant Center is not a church. The Relevant Center is a tool. The Relevant Center is not a church. The church is a people. We are the church. It's why we didn't put the word church on a marquee or on the side of our building, but instead called our building the Relevant Center. We built the Relevant Center to be a tool to help us grow the ministries of Relevant, impact our community, and reach people for Jesus. Therefore, we want to maximize this tool to its fullest capacity, and we haven't maximized it to its fullest capacity yet. The Relevant Center is unfinished. The current structure that we're all sitting in right now was our initial phase, and our vision is that by 2030, all aspects and phases of the Relevant Center are complete, and we're debt-free. Now, after God laid this unfinished vision on our hearts in 2020, we identified three phases for the Relevant Center to be complete, and by the grace of God, we're currently completing phase one. There are three primary focuses for phase one of the Relevant Center expansion. The number one focus for phase one is bigger space and more spaces for our next gen, our weekly next gen environments. At Relevant, we are fanatics about reaching kids and students for Jesus, inspiring and empowering them to follow Jesus so that they're transformed into everything God's created them to be by Jesus. And it's actually happening, and it's so awesome to see. But it's created a really good problem. And the really good problem is we've run out of space to create the best environments for Sprouts, Relevant Kids, Rooted, and Youth United. The reality is, we're over capacity right now in Sprouts and Relevant Kids without reaching one more. And we can't be okay with that. We can't be okay with not having enough room to reach more kids and students for Jesus. We can't be okay with not being able to create the best environments to inspire and empower kids and students to take next steps to follow Jesus. Our number one focus for phase one of the Relevant Center expansion is bigger space and more spaces for our weekly next gen environments because the faith of the next generation is worth everything. The faith of the next generation is worth whatever it may cost us. Second is meeting rooms for groups of 10 to 40 people. The Relevant Center, you know, is currently, we only have basically two rooms. The auditorium, which we're in, and a theater across the hall. We don't have any rooms for next-gen small groups. We don't have any rooms for our classes that we do here at Relevant to meet in. Having smaller meeting rooms is going to help grow the ministries of Relevant. Therefore, it's going to help us transform people more into everything God's created us to be. And then third, a larger office for our growing paid staff. As our church grows, so does our paid staff team. We've maxed out capacity of our current office, which means we can't grow our paid staff team, and that will prevent us from continuing to achieve our mission. Now, to address these, phase one includes a completely new and much larger Sprouts ministry area for children birth through pre-K. We're moving beyond our current three rooms to having six rooms for six age groups. We also have a large room where kids will be able to come together for large group worship and practical biblical teaching. The new Sprouts ministry area is going to help us impact kids birth through pre-K for Jesus so much more. We don't believe the best approach for Relevant Kids is having kindergarten through fifth grade all together, because a kindergartner and a fifth grade learn very, very different. So as a part of phase one, we're constructing a completely new Relevant Kids ministry area. In this new ministry area, there will be a large room for kids kindergarten through third grade to gather for large group worship and practical biblical teaching, with additional rooms for small groups to meet in. And because of this new area, now our fourth and fifth grade Relevant Kids will have their own environment in the current theater, and which is going to be so much more impactful for them. In this new Relevant Kids ministry area, we're also going to have a strategically designed room to help better inspire and empower kids with special needs to take next steps to follow Jesus. Furthermore, phase one of the Relevance Center includes a new and much larger office area for our paid staff. The new office area will allow us to grow our paid staff team to 4 times the size that we currently are and create an environment built for productivity, community, and collaboration, something our current office just simply does not provide. Now, there are 2 aspects of phase one. There's the expansion, and then there's renovation. These 3, Sprouts Ministry Area, Relevant Kids Ministry Area, Office Area, are all part of the expansion that's being built right now. And I'm excited to announce that our first Sunday in the new expansion is going to be August 9th. Let's do it, baby! Now, there's a whole lot to happen from now until then, so stay tuned, stay informed, make sure you're following us on social media. Parents, make sure you're checking your email. Volunteer staff, make sure you're reading or watching the weekly staff updates that I put out every single Thursday. Now, after August 9th, when we're in the new expansion, we're going to start renovating some of the current Relevant Center. After renovation of phase one is complete, in addition to the auditorium and the theater, we'll have about 11 meeting rooms for next-gen small groups for our classes to meet in. Currently, we obviously have none. If you haven't seen all the renderings of phase one, they're in the foyer this morning. Go out, take a look. Some of our team members are out there, can answer any questions that you have about them. Now, all of this is possible because of unfinished. For those of you who made an unfinished generosity commitment, you need to know God is not only using your generosity to generate transformation in people's lives, but he's also using it to help us take huge steps toward our 2030 vision of all aspects and phases of the Relevant Center being complete and us being debt-free. If you never financially give, if you seldom financially give, I want to invite you to start giving generously. God's transforming work is unfinished, and he uses all of our generosity to generate transformation. The transforming work that God wants to do in and through our church, it requires all of us. There's many ways you can give digitally. You can see right on the screen right here. Obviously, the box is at the door if you want to give cash and check at any point in time. Now, if you're new to Relevant or new to Unfinished, you can still be part of this transformational season. As a matter of fact, every dollar given over these 2 years goes toward Unfinished. If you'd like to learn more, you can go to the website. There's an Unfinished, logo right on top of the website and front page of the website. You can find out more information there. Or we have printed books in the foyer by the renderings. Go grab one. Anyone can answer questions you have there. Before we go forward, let me pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for the generosity of our church. I thank you that we're able to do this with our building. Lord, thank you for providing this tool for us. We're super grateful. And Lord, I pray that over the next couple months, as we get ready to just move into that expansion, Lord, you remove all the obstacles. We're able to do this on time. And Lord, I pray that we as a church just continue to steward what you've given us ultimately for your glory and the mission that you've called us to. We pray all this in Jesus' awesome name. Amen. All right, today we are in the final week of this 4-part series that we've entitled Games We Played. One thing every game has in common is that they all require a winner and a loser. And that's the reason some of you love playing games. It's actually the reason some of you hate playing games. Now, regardless if you love or hate playing games, there is one arena of life we all end up playing games within, and that is the arena of our relationships. If there was one phrase I hope you remember at the end of this series, it is this phrase, that the win in the relationship is the relationship. The win in the relationship with your parents, your kids, your spouse, your boss, your spouse, your employees, your teammates, the win in the relationship with one another is the relationship. A mutually life-giving, healthy, beneficial, edifying, loving relationship. We should be very careful about the games we're playing in our relationships, because relational games that require a loser create losing relationships. When someone loses in the relationship loses. Relational games that require a loser is a game no one wins, because the win in the relationship is the relationship. And because of that, we've discovered there's only one relational game we should be playing, and it's called the honor game. And how we play the honor game is by treating others as though they are more valuable than yourself. The honor game is the only relational game we should play. When everyone plays, everyone wins because the relationship wins. Unfortunately, sometimes intentionally, but I believe most of the time unintentionally, we end up playing other games that are detrimental to our relationship. Throughout this series, we've been talking about three of those games. Three games we've all played that prevent us from playing the honor game. Three games we should pack up, we should throw away because they all require a loser, and relational games that require a loser create losing relationships. Over the past 2 weeks, we discovered we should never play the blame game or the comparison game. Now, if you missed either the last 2 weeks, I would encourage you to go back and watch those sermons because both of these games are detrimental to our relationships and we've all played them. The third relational game we should never play, and the one we're focusing on today to close out this series, is a game that's actually behind the blame game, a game that's actually behind the comparison game, a game that's actually behind every other destructive relational game that we play. Whether that be the shame game, the guilt game, the degrading game, the ultimatum game, the list can go on. It's a game where we're all tempted to play with our spouses, our kids, our parents, our coworkers, our friends, our teammates, our employees. We're all tempted to play it with one another, and it's called the change game. And here's what the change game is. The change game is trying to change others for our benefit instead of theirs. Change game sounds like this. There's something about you that needs to change. There's something about the way you're thinking, believing, behaving, talking, leading, eating, parenting, working, living that I don't like. There's something about you that's not beneficial for me, that's causing me anxiety, that's annoying me, that's frustrating me, that's creating discomfort for me, that's irritating me, that's not living up to my expectations. So I am going to fix you. At the core, the change game says, I'm right and you're wrong, and I'm gonna work to prove how wrong you are until you change. Now, come on, let's be honest. We've all played the change game. We've all played it at home, at work, at school, within our church, with those over us, with those under us, with people we like, with people we don't like, with our closest friend. We've even played it with people we don't even know. We've all tried to change who they are, how they act, what they believe, what they do, how they vote, not necessarily because it's going to benefit them, but because it's going to benefit us. I want them to change because my life would be easier. I want them to change because I'd be happier. I want them to change because then they'd stop irritating me. I want them to change and then we'd have a better marriage. I want them to change because they're embarrassing to me. I want them to change, then my team would function better. We all want them to change. So we criticize, belittle, shame, blame, manipulate, pressure, do whatever might work in an effort to change them for our benefit. Now, something I know about you, because it's true about all of us, is none of us like when someone plays the change game with us. When someone criticizes, belittles, shames, points out everything wrong with us in an effort to change something about us that they don't agree with, that they don't like, that's not benefiting them, none of us like it. None of us like when someone plays a change game with us, yet we choose to play it all the time. And here's what you need to know. The honor game and the change game cannot both be played at the same time. You cannot treat others as though they are more valuable than yourself and try to change them for your benefit at the same time. We've all played this game. Every single one of us are guilty of it. We can't go back and change that, but we should never play it again because the change game changes relationships, but never for the better. The change game always changes relationships for the worst. The change game can't and won't create winning relationships. It only leads to losing relationships because someone always has to lose in the change game. Playing the change game never brings people together. It only pushes people away from one another. It never closes relational gaps. It always widens relational gaps. You already know that. Because when someone has played the change game with you, it's never improved your relationship with them. It's always hurt it. One of my really good friends about 10 years ago used to be a part of Relevant. he did. There were some things about Relevant he didn't like at all. He wanted to see those things changed at Relevant, and he wanted to see them changed not really because it'd be more beneficial for us as a church, but because they'd be more beneficial for him. He just liked those things better, and he'd make him more comfortable. And so, in an effort to see these things change, he tried to change, you know, play this game, and he began to criticize me, who was a really good friend of mine, began to criticize me to many other people, and obviously that ended up getting back to me. So I went and sat down with him, and we had a conversation about it, and ended up, you know, we ended up talking about that, and then he ended up asking me all kinds of questions about this stuff that he wanted to see changed. And we actually met multiple times about this, multiple times over multiple months. And I started noticing every time we went and met about this, he just kept asking me the same questions over and over and over, and then criticizing my answer to the question. Same question, criticizing the answer to the question. And finally, I said to him, I said, dude, do you keep asking me the same questions because I'm not being clear? Or because you're trying to change my answer to those questions? And it was because he wanted to change the answer to those questions. And this has ended up damaging our relationship. It damaged our relationship because I wouldn't change, so he pulled away from me, and then I pulled away from him because I didn't want to be criticized in an effort to change anymore. You know this, the change game never improves relationships. It only hurts them. I mean, think about this. Has you playing the change game ever improved one of your relationships? Has you playing it ever improved it? Has someone else playing the change game with you ever improved your relationship with them? No, never, not once. It's only damaged your relationship. Think about this. Has you playing the change game actually ever changed them? Or, to think about it, has someone playing the change game with you actually ever changed you? No. Which means playing the change game is not only relationally destructive, it's also a waste of time because it does not work. Playing the change game is toxic. It's toxic for your relationships, and according to Jesus, it's toxic for you as well. We're going to look at what may be the most quoted words of Jesus. And these words are found in the New Testament book of Matthew, chapter 7, and here these words are. Do not judge. Those three words from Jesus may be the most quoted, misquoted, and misunderstood words that Jesus ever spoke. And we've all heard them, and we've all said them. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. The problem is, most people don't understand what Jesus meant when he said these words. What Jesus isn't saying is we shouldn't talk about what's right and wrong. He isn't saying we shouldn't discern truth. He isn't saying we shouldn't speak into one another's lives. The Greek, and Greek was the original language that the New Testament was written in, the Greek word translated judge here means to render a verdict, to condemn, to treat someone with harsh criticism. In this context, Jesus is talking about looking down on others with an attitude of moral superiority to find, to point out, to criticize, and condemn their faults. Not for their benefit, not because we care about them, not out of love for them, but because we want them to change into who we want them to be. There's something wrong with you, and I know what it is. I'm right, you're wrong. And I'm going to criticize you and condemn you until you change. To judge is to be critical before you are compassionate. It is to care about the issue more than the person. To judge is to be legalistic rather than loving. It's to be a Pharisee instead of a follower of Christ. To judge is to choose being right over the relationship. To judge is to lever the truths of Scripture as a weapon instead of an invitation. It's to make the good news of Jesus not so good news. To judge is to play the change game rather than the honor game. And guys, myself included, every single one of us has done this at some point in time. And playing the judgmental change game was a really big deal to Jesus. And here's what he said the consequence of choosing to play it is. Do not judge or you too will be judged. Well, judged by who? By them? Probably. But Jesus is specifically referring to God. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Jesus is saying, don't play the judgmental blame change game. The consequences of playing it is that you will be judged by God, and more than likely by others, with the same measure you judge them with. And that should get our attention, because all of us at some point have played the judgmental change game. Now let me ask you a question. How do you want to be judged? Because you and I are all going to be judged by God someday. How do you want to be judged? Do you want to be judged by God? Do you want to be judged by others? With criticism, condemnation, shame, and harshness? Or do you want to be judged with love, grace, mercy, and compassion? Jesus is saying, with the standard you use will be the same standard God and probably others use with you. Now, if Jesus ended right there, that should be enough motivation for us never to play the judgmental change game ever again. But he goes on. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? Now, a speck of sawdust, you know, is extraordinarily small. But a plank is a massive beam used to support a building. Here's the picture. Someone has a little piece of sawdust in their eye, and you're focused on that while you've got a construction-grade support beam sticking out of your own eye. Jesus is intentionally using exaggerated hyperbole to make a point. And Jesus' point isn't about which sin is greater. Jesus' point isn't that the speck is less of a sin than the plank, and the plank is a bigger sin than the speck. Jesus' point isn't the degree of sin. Jesus' point is, why would we judgmentally focus on what's wrong with them and ignore what's wrong with us? We play the judgmental change game when we're focused on their speck. We play the judgmental change game when we're convinced that their issue, that's the issue. Their problem is the problem. Their behavior is what keeping everything from being better. Their sin is the bigger sin. And come on, let's be honest. Most of the time, we think the speck is in our eye and the plank is in theirs. And sure, I've got issues. I'm not perfect. I've got some things to work on, but my stuff is small. Their stuff is the real problem. Their stuff is what's hurting all this. Their stuff is what's creating all this tension. Their stuff is the really wrong stuff. So we criticize. We condemn. We play the judgmental change game. And as we do, Jesus asks us a question. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? In other words, how can you be so critical of them? So condemning of them, so harsh toward them, so judgmental toward them, so concerned about changing them while paying no attention to what needs to change in you. And then Jesus used a word we all hate to be called to describe us when we choose to play the judgmental change game. You hypocrite. Saying to conveniently ignore the plank in your own eye as you look down on, as you criticize, as you condemn, as you harshly judge them is nothing short of hypocrisy. You guys, the reality is we all walk around, all of us, we will all walk around with either a mirror or a magnifier. The change game is played with a magnifier. The magnifier is what we use to find, to point out, to criticize, to condemn, to judge other people's faults, not for their benefit, not because we care about them, not out of love for them, but because we want them to change for our benefit. And we love walking around with a magnifier. Feels powerful. Feels powerful to point out people's sin, people's shortcomings, people's issues, people's problems, and to prove how right We are. It feels good. But as we just saw, it comes with some huge consequences. Do you know what's behind playing the judgmental change game with the magnifier? What's behind it is known as self-righteousness. I'm better than you. I'm morally superior to you. I'm right. You're wrong. I'm more in the right with God than you are. The speck is in my eye. The plank is in yours. I'm up here looking down on you. You're the one who needs to change. Behind the change game is a spirit of self-righteousness, and playing the change game does nothing but produces more self-righteousness in you. And self-righteousness is so destructive. It's destructive for your soul. It's destructive in your relationships. It's destructive in your relationship with God, because God himself said that he opposes the proud. It's destructive because it makes us a hypocrite. Jesus is instructing us to put down the magnifier and pick up a mirror instead. The only way to stop playing the toxic change, judgmental change game is to walk around with a mirror. To look at, to focus on, to judge, to evaluate ourselves first. Jesus instructs us to pick up a mirror because of what he wants to do in me and in you. Did you know that God doesn't simply want to change you? He doesn't want to change you. And he definitely doesn't want to change you for his benefit. God wants to do something so much bigger and so much better than that. God wants to transform you, to transform you into every single thing he created you to be, mostly for your benefit. The more God, the more transformed we are, the more we experience the power and presence of God in our lives. Transformation happens with a mirror. When we walk around with a magnifier instead of a mirror, we ignore, we dismiss, and we miss the transformation God wants to do in us. When we walk around with a mirror, we become more aware of the transformation that God has yet to do in us. And this is important. I hope you don't forget this. The more aware I am of the transformation God has yet to do in me, the less likely I am to play the judgmental change game with you. Now, does this mean we should never hold anyone accountable? That we should never speak the truth? That we should ignore sin, that we should never have hard conversations, that we should never confront evil, that we should never correct anyone? Does this mean I have to be perfect before I try to help someone grow? No, not at all. Look at what Jesus said. He said, you hypocrite, first, which means there's an order to these things. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Jesus isn't saying we should never help someone remove the speck from their eye. He's saying first, take care of the plank in your own eye, which starts by having a full awareness that it's even there to begin with. Listen, we all need people in our lives to help us grow, to correct us, to encourage us, to challenge us, to hold us accountable. Jesus is saying, before you enter into that territory with them, first, make sure you have full awareness of the transforming work that God wants to do in you. He's saying, pick up the mirror, and then you will be able to pick up the magnifier with a completely different approach. Not to play the judgmental change game for your benefit, but you'll be able to have an approach that has the fullness of truth and grace, truth and love, truth and mercy, truth and compassion for their benefit. Just like God wants to transform you and everything he's created you to be, he also wants to transform your husband, your wife, your kids, your parents, your coworkers, your employees, your teammates, your friends, your fiance, your neighbor, one another, into everything he's created them to be. And the amazing thing is he wants to use you and me to help do it. It's crazy to me. The time we spend with the mirror It matters. It matters because it transforms the motivation and the spirit with which we approach someone whenever there's something that God wants to do and whatever transformation God wants to do in them. We never put down the mirror. I said earlier, the change game, it's a waste of time because it doesn't work. It may modify someone's behavior for a short period of time, but it can't and won't transform them. Jesus is the only one who could transform your life. Jesus is the only one who could transform their life. And one of his primary ways of transforming people is through people that he's already transforming. This is how we say it at Relevant. God uses transformed people to transform people. Every time we choose to play the judgmental change game, we try to take the place of God in their lives. And not only does that not work, it's incredibly destructive. It's destructive for them, for you, for their relationship. Listen, I know the pushback, because I've given the pushback before, but they're wrong, and I'm right. Maybe you are. But you have a choice to make, and I have a choice to make. You can fight to be right, or you can fight for the relationship, but rarely can you fight for both. And you can fight to win the argument, or you can fight for their transformation, but you can't fight for both at the same time. The honor game and the change game cannot both be played at the same time. You can't treat others as though they are more valuable than yourself and try to change them for your benefit at the same time. Here's the big idea. The honor game is played with a mirror. The change game is played with a magnifier. Jesus wants to transform you into everything God created you to be. He wants to transform them into everything God created them to be. And that won't happen by playing the judgmental change game with a magnifier. It happens by playing the honor game with a mirror first. The change game says, I'm going to change you. The honor game says, God, transform me first. The change game changes relationships for the worst. The honor game heals broken relationships, mends hurting relationships, and improves our current relationship. The win in the relationship is the relationship. So, we gotta put down the magnifier and pick up the mirror first. The longer you hold up the mirror, the more aware you become of the plank that's in your eye. Your sin, your shortcomings, your faults, your brokenness. The longer you hold up the mirror, the less critical, the less judgmental, the less harsh you'll be. The longer you hold up the mirror, the more loving, compassionate, empathetic, and merciful you'll become. The longer you hold up the mirror, the more you'll be able to live like Jesus in the fullness of truth and grace. The longer you hold up the mirror, the more humble you will be. The longer you hold up the mirror, the more likely you'll be to earn the right to be heard instead of talking at people all the time and you thinking that they care what you say. The longer you hold up the mirror, you'll want to treat others as though they are more valuable than yourself. You know, it's been fun watching my daughter, my oldest of two daughters, Grace, like navigate through this in a very specific way. Grace is 20 now, and Grace, her whole life, has had this thing when people eat, the noise that it makes when people eat. Like, it doesn't annoy her, it doesn't frustrate her, it does something to her soul. Like, I think there's a medical term for it. Does anyone know what it is? Crazy, got it, it's called crazy. No, but like, it does something, like, you guys, it like makes her skin crawl. Well, when she was younger, man, she just picked up that magnifier at the dinner table all day long and criticized us. And you guys, you need to stop. You need to eat quieter. Like we were going, like when we were eating, we're like, and she would criticize and belittle us at the table. And she would do it not for our benefit. It wasn't that she's like, I need to teach you how to eat so when you go into public, you don't embarrass yourselves. She was doing it for her own benefit. And you guys, I'm telling you, it created fights. It hurt the relationship. Two people usually left the dinner table every night, one of them yelling and one of them crying. I was one of them and Grace was the other one. What do you think was crying and what one do you think was yelling? But as she's gotten older and as she's matured and as she's followed Jesus and been more transformed in everything God's created to be, it's so cool. That has not gone anywhere in her, that whatever that is that like makes her skin crawl. But she looks in the mirror and instead of saying, here's how you need to change, she's going, how do I need to change? And it's been cool to watch her. She doesn't condemn anymore. She stays quiet. She'll sit at different spots around the dinner table. And if she can't handle anymore, she'll just get up and walk to like a different spot to the kitchen. And so that she's a little further away so she can continue just to have relationship. That has been so beneficial for our relationship. I can't even begin to explain that to you. But you know what it's done in our hearts, in Reese and Christy and me, as Grace has done this? It's made us want to change for her. But when she was holding the magnifier up, it did not make us want to change. It made it want to kill her. Like, and that, you know this. Man, you guys, the longer we hold up the mirror, the more your relationship will win. The longer you hold up the mirror, the more God will transform you. The longer you hold up the mirror, the more you'll believe what the Apostle Paul believed. In the New Testament book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul wrote, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of who I am the worst. Of who I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Man, the longer you hold up a mirror, the more God can use you to transform them. The longer you hold up a mirror, the more you'll know when God is inviting you to pick up a magnifier to help them remove the speck from their eye. The mirror prepares us to use the magnifier in the way that Jesus intended us to use it. The longer you hold up the mirror, the more helpful instead of hurtful that you're gonna be with the magnifier. The longer you hold up the mirror, the more you'll benefit them instead of trying to change them to benefit you. The honor game is played with a mirror. The change game is played with a magnifier. So let me ask you, what do you walk around with most? A mirror or a magnifier? Because you are walking around with one. You are. You are walking around with one at home, at school, at work. You're walking around one within our church. You're walking around with one in your T-Life group, with your spouse, your parents, your friends, people you like, people you don't like, people you agree with, and people you disagree with. Be honest. In your relationships, what do you walk around with most? A magnifier or a mirror? Well, are your words hurtful or helpful? Are you being critical or compassionate? Are you treating them with condemnation or love? Do you have a judgmental spirit or a gracious one? Are you coming across as self-righteous or humble? Are you concerned with what benefits you or what benefits them? Are you trying to prove how wrong they are or help them be transformed into everything God created them to be? Are you more concerned with being right or their relationship? Are you looking down on them or treating them as though they are more valuable than yourself? We've all played the judgmental change game. We can't go back and change that, but we should never play it again. So, with whom do you need to put down the magnifier and pick up the mirror? Whoever it is, do it immediately. Do it because the honor game is played with a mirror. The change game is played with a magnifier. Do it because relational games that require a loser create losing relationships. Do it because the win in the relationship is the relationship. You guys, listen. The world, our community, your family, your marriage, your small group, our church doesn't need more hypocrites carrying around magnifiers, playing the judgmental change game. It needs more transformed followers of Christ carrying around mirrors, playing the honor game. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Jesus, I pray for every one of us that calls ourselves followers of Christ. Lord, if there was something in the series or something today that we need to take a next step with to follow you and for the health of our relationships, I pray that we choose to do it, that we don't ignore it. Lord, our relationships are a real big deal to you. And Lord, I pray that as those of us who are followers of Jesus, we don't act like we're okay with you when we're not okay with others. So Lord, whether it's the blame game, the comparison game, or the change game, I know for me it's all three that I need to stop playing some big ways so that I can play the honor game. Lord, I pray that I take the steps that I know as I've been planning this series, been very convicted about. And Lord, as I take those steps, as we take those steps, I pray you continue to transform us to look like you for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.